I won't ask you about stock performance, but I do want to ask you a little bit about animal spirits. We've seen a little bit of confidence coming back into Shanghai and the China markets and also in Hong Kong. Some people might say it's driven by the Trump trade. Others might say there's something happening under the hood with the Chinese economy. What say you?
Well, I think it's not just China. If you look across the whole region, you've seen business confidence indicators improving over the past 3-6 months. And indeed, you've seen this globally. It's obviously been extreme in the U.S. in the last couple of months in a positive reaction to the election and the hopes for deregulation. But if you look right across the emerging world, you've seen trade flows pick up, and you've seen business confidence improve. So China is obviously a part of that, but it's certainly not unique.
And do you think that this reflation trade we're seeing has a little bit more legs, a little bit more of a rally to go, Richard?
It seems reasonable. It's been based maybe on, in some ways, on hope rather than anything particularly material. But if you think it's simply reflecting short-term cyclical bounce, then there seems to be a little more legs to that. I mean, in China's case, they are tightening policy a little. You'd expect some of the numbers to fade over the next 6 months because they're trying to slow down the housing market. But I don't think it's a particularly perilous change of policy that we're seeing.
So if you look in the United States, obviously there are some measures coming from the Trump administration. How soon? Well, that's anybody's guess. But eventually what they hope it leads to is for companies to spend, to invest, to hire. In China, it's a slightly different picture, but can we expect healthy activity by China's companies in the next 6 months?
I think you probably can. I mean, obviously, they have this threat of increased trade friction with the United States hanging over them. But aside from that, things look actually relatively stable. They still seem prepared to increase credits, and they have a pretty serious credit bubble, but they seem to be prepared to keep on increasing credit in order to ensure that the growth numbers look stable.
Richard, when you last came on our program, which was about a month ago, you did, signal that there was a potential trade war, a bit of a major concern between the US and China. I'm wondering if you're encouraged at all by some, warming signs in the Trump-China relationship now, a month on.
Yeah, I think encouraged that in some ways that nothing's really happened on the trade side. I mean, obviously, some of the people have not been approved yet through the confirmation process, but certainly it doesn't seem to be high on the list of priorities. Yeah, I guess the president seems to be more concerned with some of the domestic issues, and so maybe he'll get around to China later. But I think if you just look at the size of the deficit that the U.S. has with China, I think this is not a concern that's going to go away anytime soon.
I wanted to switch gears a little bit and talk about Singapore. It's a place that we don't talk about probably as much as we should. We talk a lot about Hong Kong because we're based here. But Singapore's economy, with this latest print on GDP, up 12.3% annualized, what happened?
Well, the problem really is that the GDP numbers are tremendously volatile from quarter to quarter. Partly because it's such an open economy, you get small changes in the swings of imports and exports, and you get tremendous swings in these quarterly numbers. It's much more useful, really, to look at the change compared to the previous year or look at sort of a four-quarter average or that sort of thing. And if you do that, the numbers are pretty decent. You know, the economy is growing 2 to 3%, which for a high-income economy is quite respectable.
We saw from DBS... We saw the bank's earnings not so good, but the CEO of DBS said that he felt that some of the problems with the oil industry, well, that had bottomed out. Do you concur?
Well, it's not really my expertise, but I think in general you can see signs that some of the export sectors that have been a drag, and maybe the housing market as well, are coming through the worst. And I think you can see that in things like the GDP numbers and the trade numbers as well, which came out today, which were also quite good.
So if we talk about growth more broadly in the Asia region, of course, we had that forecast yesterday coming through from the PBOC that they expect 6.5% in China. Are you, as bullish on growth in the Asian region, particularly, in China?
Well, I think in China the number will be whatever they want it to be. I think there's not much credibility in the figures they produce. I think outside of that, I mean, if you look across the ASEAN region, the figures have been really good, and we had data from Malaysia yesterday, which was good, but Philippines, Indonesia, looking really healthy, and I think it's a testimony to the improvement in domestic policy management that we've seen in many of these Southeast Asian economies. They've been able to fare really pretty well despite a tough global environment the last 2 or 3 years.
We talked a lot in the past month about capital outflows from China and what sort of signal that was sending. It does seem that the PBOC is holding the line now on the currency, kind of in this range around 680 to 690 against the U.S. dollar. Does it feel like the capital outflows have slowed down, maybe because of the controls?
Yeah, I think they've tightened the controls, and it seems to have been quite effective in terms of managing the scale of the capital outflow. And as you say, that's helped them to stabilize the currency. And I guess if you're worried about U.S. Protectionism and trade wars, then maybe simply flatlining the currency is a prudent thing to do. It gives the U.S. one less stick to beat you with, if you like. So maybe just going sideways for a while looks quite prudent for them.
But interestingly, we're not really seeing that. I mean, today the strength in the yuan fix has strengthened since the highest since January 24. So essentially, we are still seeing, I guess, a little bit more strength coming through in this currency, perhaps more than what we could have expected. Do you agree?
Not really. I mean, I think they're allowing a bit of day-to-day volatility just so nobody thinks it's a one-way market. But I think in general, the currency has really been flatlining for the past month against the dollar. And yep. I guess that's just a diplomatic process.